Hey, we are back.
Hi.
It is a very, very thin hosted crowd with just me and the flop.
Still entertaining as shit.
As entertaining as it gets. This will be a short episode as, while we record this, not as you listen. As you listen, you will have already known the results, but while we record this, we anxiously await Game 6 and what we hope and cross our fingers and feel passionately will be the Blues finally bringing Lord Stanley's Cup to the St. Louis area.
Is he a Lord?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
And
do you know when the Stanley Cup first came about?
I don't, but I know the cup's here. I saw the video.
It is. And the guy that carries it, what is his official? The keeper of the cup.
Keeper of the cup, yeah. He's like
here.
Pete or something. But
I believe it was in the 1800s, 1860-something or other is when the first Stanley Cup was.
Something. I know this isn't the original cup. There's been a lot of cups.
Oh, yeah. The original cup was actually a bowl.
On top of a pedestal that they eventually turned it into.
No, I think it was just a bowl.
Oh.
And then they added stuff. And every 13 years, they take off a top ring.
Are they
to make room for more champions to be added to it.
Are they completely shitting on what the definition of a cup is? A cup should be something you can hold in one hand to drink
out of. In 1863... a cup and a bowl were probably the same thing.
Yeah, people just said...
The 1860s. I don't know why I said a specific year. In the 1800s...
But in 1864, that was not the case.
I don't know. I can't speak for these people.
As it were, that's one of the reasons you don't hear from the Badger. You don't hear from the Bender. But it's also... Another reason is this is probably going to be a shorter episode than normal. Because... We're just going to, really, honestly, we're just going to kind of give you a wrap-up of what our week was, our week leading into our weekend. I'm not going to bore you with all the details because it was, in fact, a work trip. But we went to Nashville, and I believe there's a good amount of people that probably want to know, hey, we're pop culture fans. We're fans of your podcast. Mm-hmm. I say a bunch. I mean a smattering amount of people. If we were to go to Nashville, what's some things we should do? Well, first off, you should go on a week that's not CMA Fest.
This is a true statement. I feel like you and I should go there again. One, when you don't have to quote-unquote work, and two, when it's not literally balls to the wall.
And I also, speaking of that work, I assumed that I would have to work some. I did not know I was going to be as stressed out as much as I was because of work. Because it was a... So I'm not going to name names here, but let's just say this. My customers were the rowdy ones. They're St. Louis Blues fans,
yes.
So they were extra rowdy. They already had a reputation for being the problem childs at the event, which made some people in my corporate company, my corporate side, already predestined to be mad, which is the way I felt. But they did get a little extra rowdy when we were in the suite to watch the CMA Fest that first night, and the Blues won. I mean, I said, hey, my response was, we're going to burn half the city down if we bring the cup back. This was mild compared to what the city's going to do. But that's why we were down there. We were down there because I had customers I had entertained. It was a work-paid trip, so it was good. And it was a CMA Fest, one of Nashville's biggest things.
Mm-hmm.
We got down on a Wednesday, you and I. And so we thought getting down on a Wednesday would be a little easier, but we did not know that the kickoff, the CMT Awards or whatever, or the CMT kickoff to CMA Fest, was that first night. So Kane Brown played in the on Broadway.
On Broadway, in the, like, right, if anyone's familiar with Nashville, right catty corner to, like, Tootsie's on Broadway.
If anyone also is familiar with Game of Thrones, I, walking to get that one block, felt like Jon Snow at the Battle of the Bastards. I thought we were going to be crushed. It was a nightmare.
It was ridiculous. If I would have known, I would have said, let's just walk around that block.
Yeah, and I didn't know
but
that.
But once we figured it out, it was too late. We were in the
shit.
We were
in it.
And we had to just keep going.
We were just as deep going one way as we were the other way.
I liked how the door people were like, keep it moving, people. Where are we going to go?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what do you want me to do?
There literally is no place to move to.
Literally.
Literally.
But the first night, you and I, so we did have a work-free night that first night. First off, the JW Marriott, our hotel, was a very awesome hotel.
I've never, this is going to make me sound really,
Hoosier.
I've never stayed in a hotel that provides a robe
and
slippers.
Yeah, they did both. It was a very nice hotel. The tallest hotel in the... In fact, they have the tallest point in the city to view things, like the tallest observation at one of the bars up there. Super, super good hotel.
We just got stuck on a low level.
Yeah, we were on a low level, but they gave us the best room on that low level. We had the corner...
So they say.
The corner king size room.
We were overlooking the pool, so...
It was a nice big view, awesome shower.
That hotel, by the way, people, if you ever want to go to Nashville and stay in a nice hotel, you can't hear anything. There was no noise in the hallway, no noise from the people above us, no outside noise. It was a very quiet
hotel. That's a 5 out of 5 on our scale. Yeah, that hotel is. It was a super awesome hotel. So we highly recommend that. So we checked in our hotel. We, unpacked. My wife does the typical mom thing, and she takes disinfectant wipes, and she wipes down the entire hotel room.
The most dutified item in a hotel room is the remote. So that's
that. Dutified.
There's caca all over it.
There's caca on the remote. Okay. I mean,
That's what they say.
I'm not repeating you to make fun of you. I just want people to know that the remote has caca on it.
And dutified.
So
I wipe down all the handles, the light switches, the remote, anything. Like handles on the toilet, the sinks.
Let me ask you. When's the last time you disinfected our remotes? Because I don't want to deter any future guests from coming on the show. But I let a lot of new caca out in our house. Not in the house, but in the bathroom. And I do wash my hands and I do wipe. But should you not, I bet proportionately it's just as bad as a hotel room. It's just not other people's caca.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, but maybe I do, maybe I don't. I'm not going to say. No. I clean the remotes, but...
Here?
I have occasionally.
I believe you. I just want to make sure.
But I don't feel like, on the grand scheme of things, of what the housekeepers do there, remotes are not on the priority list. They want to get up all the women's hair out of the shower, make sure the bed is presentable, and there's no crap laying around. And
the last thing you want in a hotel is crap laying around. Right. There's no way.
I hope they change the sheets because I accidentally spilled coffee on the bed.
Oh man! of all the places that could have went, that wasn't that bad. I didn't know. Like as soon as I was terrified, is what you might say, because I know what we did in that room.
Oh, stop.
That's right. You heard me. So we went downtown. We fought the crowd to get through the first one for the very beginning of Broadway, which is the street where shit happens.
By the way, people, that set the tone for Jeremy already.
Yeah.
He does not like that shit.
I don't like lines, and I don't like shit like that. Also, I'm a fan of live music, but... Not a big, massive fan of country music, and I also like to chill and drink without a lot of noise. So
everywhere was loud and everywhere was packed.
Ungodly loud, ungodly packed. So it's not necessarily my scene, and it's always like that, but this was extra packed. Mm-hmm. But the first bar we went to, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the first bar I think we went to ended up being, what was it? It was... we went to the place called the Losers, our Losers Bar.
Which was not on Broadway. It was
just off.
And it was just because it was
less crowded.
Less crowded. So we decided to eat there.
Yeah, we ate there.
Don't do that, people.
Yeah, don't eat at Losers. Music was not bad. In fact, it might not be a bad bar, but it was not good food. I've said literally
a million times this episode already. I thought I was going to have a heart attack from eating the nachos.
There was so much salt in her nachos that I felt like I was in Dune mining spice. I thought that was the spice we were mining for all those geeks out there. I've thrown a Dune and a Game of Thrones reference at you. But it was awful. It was awful. It was the worst nachos probably at a quote-unquote nice restaurant or bar and grill that I've ever had.
I would not consider that a restaurant.
It's a bar and grill.
Typically,
bar and grills, their strong point is nachos. Mm-hmm. Like, nachos is your game, man. If you suck at nachos, you might as well shut down or kill yourself because you're missing out.
Wow.
I know. It's nachos.
That's why they're called losers.
I guess so. But we went there. We had a couple beers. All they had was, they literally only had 4 beers in bottles to choose from. So we drank domestic. I believe I got a little bit of shit from it on the Twitters or the Facebooks or Instagrams. Mm-hmm. From there, though, we walked down, I think we went to that brewery right after, the Rock Bottom Brewery, which is the only brewery on Broadway.
Oh, I believe so, because you said they were closing early?
No, we were going to go to Yazoo's, which we didn't make it to, oldest brewery in Nashville. We did not get there, but we did have some of their beer, so more on that later. But we did, I believe we went to a place before we ended up at...
I don't know. I've already forgotten.
Yeah, so bottom line, we ended up at this Rock Bottom Brewery. It was, if I could compare it to anything in St. Louis, it would be... to Trailhead, and if I compare it to anything in Springfield, so from some of our Springfield listeners, it was like Springfield Brewing Company. Yes, they had beer. Some of their beers were good. Some of their beers were just subpar, but it was microbrew.
And listen, these chicks working mixed beers.
Which
was super odd. Like, I wish you guys could have just seen my face.
It's not uncommon for, like, snake bites and black and tans and things of that nature, but they kind of did their own thing. And I'll say that was the highlight of that place, is that the two bartenders were pretty cool girls. They were pretty super cool. They were fun to hang out with. But we left there on advice from a friend, Tony.
I can
link her, because Tony suggested we go find this place called the Beer Cellar. Now, on paper, Tony made a great suggestion. This was a very good craft bar in terms of selection. They had a lot of great locals. They had some outside the market beers and cans and stuff, and even on tap. Here's what sucked about the Beer Cellar, and that's cellar, S-E-L-L-A-R.
Yep.
What sucked about the Beer Cellar was they don't serve food, and in Nashville, if you don't serve food, you can have smoking.
Yes, so there was heavy smoking.
Smoke-filled, awful, awful.
Just envision any, like, bar that has, like, I don't want to use the word seedy, but it wasn't, like, upscale whatsoever, and they had pool tables. So just envision, like, from, like, the 90s, any just, like...
And I will link everybody to it, so I don't want to talk too much shit on them, because they were super nice people, especially one guy that wasn't our immediate bartender. He was very knowledgeable, and he would actually talk the beers with me. But for the most part, the staff wasn't necessarily your
friendly.
Ideal.
I don't think they were friendly.
They weren't your ideal representative of a real craft establishment, like a real sit and chill craft bar. They were not what you want. They didn't look the part. They didn't speak the part to us, with the exception of one guy. And I don't even think he was working that night. He probably had already got off work.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just in there chilling. But not the shit on the bar. It had a great beer selection, and we had some good Jackalope Brewery, is the name of the brewery, those beers. And they were solid. But from there, you know, I think we went back and we wanted to hit Tootsie's. My wife wanted to hit Tootsie's. So this time we skirted around a few blocks to hit Tootsie's. Tootsie's was unbelievably packed. It was,
it's the oldest bar there.
Very famous.
And I told Jeremy he would love it, and he did not.
It wasn't the bar's fault per se. It was just, there was a lot of people.
We went almost every night when I was in Nashville last August, and it was like that every time.
Here's the thing. Me and, not friend of the show, because he's never came on, nor does he listen, but friend in life, Hal Pow, we in our old age, and this is his and I's philosophy, we do love live music, but we want to go to concerts for that. And we do like crowds occasionally. But when I, like, especially in the mode I was having, is I wanted to have a good night with my wife on the first night. If we saw some good music, great. If we didn't, we just got to chill, have some beers. And we had a lot of beers this night. We did have a ton of beers. And just kick it and just enjoy the night. Nashville does not let you do that in a lot of places. There is a lot of people
not
in a lot
on Broadway.
Of places. Not on Broadway. Off Broadway, we saw... Well, one thing that I thought was cool is there were some alleys that had some hidden bars.
Yeah.
And I thought that was awesome. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to hit those. I would have loved to went to that English pub.
Mm-hmm.
But English beers at that point when we found that place did not sound good.
Right.
But we did hit Tootsie's. I had a Yuengling, which I'm constantly disappointed that I order a Yuengling everywhere we go. You made fun of me. Yuengling, listen, people. I know there's these people that are going to lose their shit on this. It's not a great beer.
I've never thought it was.
It's an average beer. The Yuengling Black and Tan I enjoy, but the straight Yuengling Lager, it's a average at best lager. And the only reason you people like it is the same reason you like fucking the Spotted name. Cow from Wisconsin, is you can't get it here.
Oh,
that's
I
it.
Thought you meant just because the name. Like, it's just... You know, prestige or something.
Yeah, well, the nation's oldest brewery. I mean, that's the oldest craft brewery in the nation. Yeah, I mean, that's one reason. But, yeah, not great. It's not great. It's average at best. So we left Tootsie's and we were making our way back to the hotel. And I'm really blowing through this because we had a lot of beer at every stop.
Oh, yeah.
And when we got back, before we went back to our hotel, we found ourselves still a little hungry. So we went to Nash Bar.
Yes.
Southern.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good craft bar. Very good. And a massive bar. And I'll tell you this, they had music going on too, but the place was so big and the stage was kind of like a, for lack of a better term, professional looking stage.
It looked like something that you would see on TV or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a scaled down pageant or something like that, you know, like a micro pageant.
And there are other places in there that have large areas.
Yeah.
But with stages like that.
And this just worked out. But here we had, I had the Kings of Leon helped brew a beer. Yeah. I had that beer. We had a couple of other beers. We had some very good bacon nachos, bacon queso nachos that the salt was just right. In fact, we had to ask the woman, we were like, hey, my wife wants some nachos, but can you tell me how salty is your chips? And she goes, what a weird question. I'm like, listen, we had the saltiest fucking nachos in the history of man.
And
earlier.
Yes, I ate nachos twice in one day. Don't judge me.
We were drunk.
Yeah.
After that place, we went back to our hotel. And I'm not going to do this every night, but I just wanted to hit some of the key places. So that was our first night. We got really drunk. Day two. We woke up a little late, so we ended up having no breakfast. We just kind of skipped breakfast.
And you can blame that on me. It took me forever to get up, get moving, and get ready.
Yeah, but we did get up, and I think the first stop we made that day was we had beer in our bar at the hotel.
We sure did.
Which was pretty nice.
And we saw MTV star. Jeremy didn't believe me at first.
Yeah.
I had to pull up some pictures.
The Challenge and Real World's Own Ammo.
Ammo.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
And at first I was like, that could be his twin.
But no, it was
him.
So
his hair is curling and it's a little longer and he had it pulled back like someone from like the Revolutionary War. No.
Nah, he just had his hair pulled back in a man pony. Like
but
a man
it was
bun.
A low pony and it reminded me of like some like George Washington.
He was working.
I don't know.
He was working. So that MTV money's not keeping him going.
Right.
But...
It was the face tattoo they gave it away.
And we didn't get a chance to talk to him because by the time we confirmed that it was, in fact, Ammo, we never saw him again.
He disappeared.
Yeah. So Tom will like that. That's Ammo from MTV Challenge and the Road Rule.
Las Vegas.
I mean, and,
the
and,
second
and,
season
yeah,
in Las
MTV
Vegas.
MTV Las Vegas. Real World Las Vegas.
Go big or go home.
That's it. Go big or go home. So we saw him and then we ate at Kid Rock's place. For lunch.
We sound like retards for going into one of those bigger places.
But this
like
is
that,
what they have there on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's tons.
And it was a steakhouse, and the steak was pretty damn good.
For the price.
Yeah.
It should have been.
And I had a couple of local craft beers there, too. If Bohannon 00 on Untappd, if you want to see what all Nashville based beers I had, friend of the show, Jay, of the Nerdcast, he texted me at one point and said, all your check-ins in Nashville makes me want to go back to Nashville. And there was some very good beer in Nashville. I've yet to peak. So far on this trip, I've yet to peak. Mm-hmm. I feel like we peaked on day two, right? Mm-hmm. I believe it was day two when we went to Legends Corner. So we...
I think this is where I switched over to mixed drinks.
Yeah, so we'll get to that too. So we finish up at Kid Rock's. And we go back and get our tickets, and then we go back and we go to the. I think we hit one or two, or we try to attempt one or two bars. And I was being real picky on my bars because I just was. Listen.
If there was a line, if he looked in the door and there were too many people, if the music was too loud, he was being
a bit of a bitch. Yeah. I was being a bitch.
So we found a really good bar.
We went to this place called Legends Corner Bar, another one of the oldest bars. Mm-hmm. We pulled up a seat at the bar.
We found out because we saw it was haunted, and we even saw proof of it.
We did see. So the you wave your hand in front of the towel dispenser that brings a towel out. It just was going off on its own.
No one was around.
And it was random times. It wasn't like it was constantly going off. It would just randomly go off. Clearly ghost. The bar we sat at happened to be in front of a little jukebox size LP or whatever those are called, EP?
45s,
yeah. Chuck Berry, My Dingling. So we sat in the right spot. I had a whiskey there, Woodford Reserve, nothing fancy. That's where we started drinking a little bit of mixed drinks. Mm-hmm. That's where I had Bearded Irises. I can't think of the name of it, so I apologize, Bearded Iris, but you did like my tweet about it. Their Hazy IPA, which was so fucking good. It was so good. It was the first like beer that we had there that I was like, now I'm happy.
Yeah.
Now I'm happy at craft beer.
You use the term juicy quite often this week.
Well, hazy, New England style hazy beers, they're juicy beer, mm-hmm. juicy IPAs. That's another description of them. And it was so good. It was muddy and dirty. It was so awesome. Mm-hmm. We had a couple. I think I had two beers there. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. But we ended up that night, though, we ended up going and eating at a place, which was a repeat for you. Because Missy, if we haven't talked about it, I'm fairly certain we talked about it a few months or back when she did it. She did a girl's trip about 8 months ago, something like that.
It was in August last year.
Yeah,
so. August.
So, yeah, so almost 10 months mm-hmm. ago now. And she went to this place called The Stillery. Mm-hmm. And that's where we really drank some amazing, some sneaky drinks.
Yeah.
Sneaky drinks. I had this peach.
You had the creamsicle.
Creamsicle was so fucking good.
You had a peach one, and I had the creamsicle and...
In a some kind of tea. Or no, some refreshing, really refreshing. Yeah. Oh, the Southern Belle or something yes. like that. These were very, they hit the right spot. They hit all the right notes. I also had a Dunkel beer from... Yazoo or someone, I can't remember who it was from, but it was...
And the bartender, because we sat at the bar to eat, was funny and amazing and...
So, I know it's
the
not...
The right amount of asshole.
I know it's not romantic, but whenever me and Melissa are just... Me and Missy, the flop, are by ourselves, I tend to always try to sit at the bar, because the bartender and people that sit at the bar are always good people. And I love to talk. And your waitress, if you're at a table and you got people around you, it's not the people at a bar are there for the most part, except for at the beer cellar. Mm-hmm. That guy was not there to talk to me. Yeah. That sat by me. In fact, no one there was there to talk to us. But it was my wife's looking because our daughter's calling us, and we're gonna have to answer that phone here in a little bit because that's gonna accelerate the episode because we're gonna have to call her back. But yeah, there was the people at the bar typically are there for like that's what a brew house is, a social house, a pub house is there for. It doesn't mean beer, the pub word. It means public house. So mm-hmm. people go there for social camaraderie to discuss the events of the day or whatever. So that's why we always sat at the bar. So we sat at the bar. Man, we got there as this guy was starting his shift. And I said, I'd like to need something to drink. He goes, what'd you like? I go, I don't know. And he goes, I said, what do you recommend? He goes, I don't know, man. I just met you.
No, he said that to me.
Oh, he said that to you, yeah.
And then when you asked him, he's like, what did he say?
He recommended a ginger beer.
I'm on your ride.
Yeah, yeah. He recommended a ginger beer, to which I go, oh, I don't know. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to pass on that. I could read your face, my man. You don't like ginger beer? And I go, no, I do not. So we ended up, and everything he recommended was good. One of the best restaurants I've ever had at to serve catfish. Mm-hmm. The catfish was so good. Like it was unbelievably good. The breading was perfect, and he changed out the chips. It was fish and chips. He changed out the chips for their mac and cheese, which was very good. They gave you two hot sauces. One was Stillery hot and one was Nashville hot. And I'm going to tell you right now, people, you may like hot food. Nashville hot is another level of fucking hot.
When I went there last year, I got the hot chicken and mac. So and I couldn't. I think that chicken was like four pieces, like four tenders almost, and I couldn't even eat one. It just filled me up really quick, but it was so hot. I was like, I can't. And there was no amount of beer that cooled my mouth off.
It was flamethrower hot.
Yeah.
But still had flavor. It was mm-hmm. doable because it still had flavor.
Yeah, it didn't burn your taste buds.
Nashville hot's a thing, so make mm-hmm. sure you're ready mm-hmm. for it. Ease into it. Don't dive in with both feet or you're going to come out with four alarm. You know, you'll need a fire truck to hose your mouth off. But it was good. That was my favorite meal we had there. That was a very good meal. And Missy had the cheeseburger, and the cheeseburger tasted great.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it tasted great. So then that's when we went over to the show after that, which is our first night at the CMA Fest itself at the Nissan Family Arena. We had the suite.
I don't think it's called a family arena.
Oh, yeah, Nissan Arena. Uh-huh. I threw that family part. And with my customers, there was nothing family about it. But we went into the suite, which everybody loves suites, but I don't like suites for concerts. I just now found that out.
Yeah. Because we've never sat in a suite.
Yeah.
For a concert. And it just takes away from the whole essence of the concert. You're not out with the people. You're not. Everyone's chill and relax, and like it's like sitting in a suite for a baseball game. It's not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. You're exactly right. It's not great. But we did. We did end up. We didn't even stay for the whole show. Plus, my customers were being a little rambunctious. And in their defense, Like I said earlier, the Blues won, so it was a crazy time. I was at that point two night drunk, you know, working the second drunk off a hangover. Just wasn't in my cards to party it up that night. So you and I went, we Ubered back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Night three is where things really, in terms of the concert, really took an upswing. Like we started that day, we woke up. We went to the Bluebird. Oh, that's what I want to talk about.
Yes.
That's the day
I was like,
three.
Why are you skipping
our
over
last
this?
Full yeah. day? We woke up and went to the Bluebird Cafe. For those that don't know, the Bluebird Cafe is the most famous singer-songwriter establishment, and I agree with what they said here, in the entire world. More people have gotten a recording contract just playing their own songs
Art
there.
Brooks,
Taylor Swift, when she was 15.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone. So this place is normally like. It's been featured in the movie Nashville. TV series Nashville. It's been featured in a lot of things, and it's a very intimate setting. Probably 200 people max.
It's smaller than yeah. our comedy clubs that we have here in San Diego.
Oh yeah,
it's smaller than like the Funny Bone.
It's a restaurant, is what it is.
Which is weird to me because I didn't see it as a. I didn't think of it, even though it's called the Bluebird Cafe.
Yeah.
I didn't actually think of it as a restaurant. I just thought of it as a. As a setting for singer-songwriters and get some drinks while you're there. I didn't think of food.
And the food was very good. They had food. But so what they did for us, it's typically not a morning place, but they opened it up early. They brought in three songwriters. And by the way, all three of these songwriters have had hits on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them had number ones on the Country Music Awards. One guy had written award-winning kids songs.
87
albums of kids songs.
Children's music.
So these three songwriters, it was two women and a guy, and I forgive me for not knowing their names off the top of my head. But
Phil?
I'm out.
And that's all I got.
He was from
Sorry.
Australia. There was one Canadian and one good old American from Minnesota. They were performing these hits, some of which I had. Even Phil, the guy from Australia, he had a song, It's a Cowboy's Duty to Stare at That Booty. Or something. It was in the movie Sicario. So he had a song in an Academy Award nominated movie. And they all two of them had had, number one chart topping songs. And these are people making a living writing songs. They write anywhere from one to three songs a day.
A day.
They
Every
consider.
Day, like 5 days a week.
The three of them had written over 200 songs together.
And what was weird for me was they're songwriters, but one of the women, the one from Canada, she was like Canada Vocalist of the Year.
In 2016, yeah, female vocalist of the year.
Her voice was so powerful.
Powerful.
Like, why doesn't she have a record contract on her own?
She's made three of her own albums,
yeah,
but like
but
you
she's
don't.
She's made them.
But I gotta tell you too. I know the setting and everything. She was as enjoyable as female singer as I've ever sat and listened to.
The acoustics in that place were phenomenal.
That's one of the. If you ever have a chance, whether you're there, no matter what. Try to get a ticket and try to go to the Bluebird.
And they're not expensive tickets. I looked them up. I just don't know how hard it is to get in there because they even told a story about how Lars from Metallica was in there.
Yeah, yeah.
One night up in the front row, and and I heard somebody else say, some of these songwriters will bring in
Garth Brooks showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah, they'll bring in the actual people that sing their songs. And they'll just bring them in and surprise people. So it's like you never know what you're going to get.
It was awesome. So what we heard was these songwriters singing their own songs.
Yeah, like, telling the stories.
Telling the stories, why they recorded them, what they did. There was the third woman, and I only call her the third woman because they went. They started with one girl, went to a guy, and then went to a girl. And that was their MO, and they all told a story. She did a song that she said that when she had to be away from her son for a week when he was 3 months old, and when she came home, she picked him up, and a song fell out.
Yeah.
And it was, I loved him first, essentially.
Yes,
it was to his future wife.
Yep. And it was very, I don't have sons, but I can relate because I do have daughters.
It almost made me cry.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very powerful song.
Following that song is tough. It almost made me cry. Yeah. I don't know how they do it, but it was...
Yeah, they kept their composure. I guess they told the story so many times that doesn't...
And when it was done, they talked to everybody.
Yeah.
And
they
these are people that make
pictures,
money in music.
Yeah.
And they just were there chilling. It was the Bluebird Cafe. It's like going to any singer-songwriter showcase you've ever been to. Friend of the show, Shane Presley.
Yeah, I thought of that too, yeah.
Singer-songwriter showcase, and I hope half of the people that do his one day go play there because it's not 100% guaranteed pathway to the record contract, But by God, more people have gotten record contracts in that place than anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome. It's so awesome. So that was our, that's how our day started. It, we immediately followed that up with a healthy nap.
I needed that. Because I knew, because my goal for this whole entire trip was to see one artist and one art.
And we'll get to her in a minute.
If I wanted to see more, that was great. Or if I got to see more, that was great. But my goal was the one artist. This artist played last on Friday night at CMA Fest.
She was the headliner on Friday.
I knew I needed a nap. And I'm not a napper.
Speaking of, they do bring out special guests sometimes. So the first night with the show, the one highlight of the show the first night, I can't remember which artist it was, brought out Brooks and Dunn. Mm-hmm. I love Brooks and Dunn. That's the country from when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I still enjoy that country. And Brooks and Dunn was awesome. And they came out and they did a Hard Working Man, which is a, I made you listen to it on the way down there. So it was awesome.
I did hear that Billy Ray Cyrus showed up in one of the bars that night, and he wasn't. He wasn't. He's
old Roy. Old Red.
Old Red. And he was scheduled to perform what Saturday, but he just happened to pop up in a bar. I am curious to know if anybody else popped up anywhere Friday night because Ariana Grande was in town for her own concert. So.
Yeah, she was at the Bridgestone Arena, which is where Nashville Predators play. Not affiliated with the CMA Fest.
Yeah.
But so we got down our nap. There was some more customer drama. But so we drank a couple of beers at the bar, and then we were like, okay, everything's worked out. Let's go get us some dinner. We walked aimlessly for a while, partly my fault, because I didn't want to go. We went to a bar. It was a cool bar. You guys had went, you ladies had went there when you were there. It was a cool enough bar, but there was nowhere. Less, I was hungry, and I didn't want to stand and eat.
And it was raining.
It was raining. It was a miserable night, so we ended up going to this just corner Mexican restaurant, which has to be making money hand over fist in spite of the slowest service in the world. We drank a cerveza or two there, and then we walked over to the show. And the good news about the rain, it made the night amazing.
Yeah, it cooled it off. No, I don't think it ever rained again after.
And we had end zone seats, so we were sitting on the opposite end zone of where the stage was. Well, in the end zone. I don't want to say what it is right now. But it's my company's sponsorship in the end zone where they have this little, like, deck. They call it the party deck for the concerts. And they had, like, a couple coolers filled with some beer. So we watched it. So we were outdoors. It was cool seats. It was, even though we were the opposite end of the stadium on the field level, it was awesome view. Awesome view. And so we, you know, we watched. I can't tell you who all we watched. It was
Dan and Shay. No, well, Thomas
Rhett. Who led off? It was someone that you didn't know was leading off.
Oh, Martina McBride.
No, it was not Martina McBride.
Oh, red hair.
Not Reba McEntire.
No, what was her name?
Old school.
Bye.
Yeah, old school country singer. She did great. I apologize for not knowing her name.
And Jody Messina.
Jody Messina, yeah. And she led into, from her, it went to Dan and Shay, which were good. They have a song my daughter likes. And then Thomas Rhett.
Mm-hmm.
He's a cool guy. Yeah. He's a fun guy.
Yeah.
Had a couple of songs. Was he the one that put a drink in my hand? Or something? That was a good song. Yeah. I don't know. And then Eric Church. Now, Eric Church was a weird show. Eric Church basically came out with no band, and he sings a song, Springsteen, which co-host of this show should love because it's country music about
his,
Bruce Springsteen.
His lover.
His man crush. But I don't want to take away because Eric Church's songs, all done just him with acoustic, were really, really good.
Yeah.
But he never took a breath and never paused in between songs.
No, he went directly from one song to one song to one song.
It's almost just, like he was trying to catch up.
It was like one run on sentence.
It was. I don't know how he had the energy.
Like, so most of these artists, because they only had, what, 40-ish minutes
40
or so,
minutes at most.
I honestly have no idea how long he played because he's Eric Church and he probably came out like, fuck you guys, I'm just going to do what I do.
He had the densest set.
I feel like he played everything in his catalog.
But I tell you what. So
because
the songs,
it was just...
But so the crowd was into it. And I'll be honest with you, when he did Springsteen, I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because the way he did all of his songs, he slowed them down a little. Some of them, he kind of emphasized the point a little more because it was just him. But it got the point across. He's a good musician.
And listen, he's pretty badass. He wore sunglasses and it was nighttime.
Yeah. And but he led into the star of Missy's Week, the whole reason she was there.
Not the whole reason. I came for you.
Well, no, I meant in terms of music.
Oh, yeah. This was the one act I wanted to see, and that was Carrie Underwood.
Mrs. Carrie Underwood.
Yes.
Country music sensation. The most successful American Idol winner of all time.
Yes. So
arguably, number two would be Kelly Clarkson. But Carrie Underwood is the...
Is Clay Aiken the third? I'm just kidding.
I'm just talking to Carrie Underwood, not just record sales, but Grammys.
Kelly
and
Clarkson
CMA
is
or
super
CMA
up there, and she is funny as hell.
But Carrie Underwood is just a half step above in terms of mega superstar.
Okay, you're correct.
But it was a half step. They're both mega stars.
So here's my thing. Her legs are fucking phenomenal. And she looked good. She just had a baby not too long ago. But I could not stop staring at her legs. I have a goal.
You've said it a long time. You love her legs.
I have a goal now. Now that I've seen them in person, I have a goal.
You're going back to mostly keto again.
Low carb, but now I'm going to incorporate exercise.
Leg workouts.
Yeah, a lot of squats. Well, clearly, that's what she
lunges.
Does. Well, that's what she does. She does a lot of lunges, back lunges and all that
stuff.
We
got plenty of room down here for it.
So her show was really good.
So for me, though, it was the best thing of the night.
Jeremy probably.
Yeah. My first celebrity crush. I don't know. My first female crush I can remember as a kid.
Is that woman aged?
I'll tell you what, I don't know how old she is, but she looks good.
Okay,
and we're talking about Carrie Underwood.
Now
she goes, it's time for us to start rocking. So she started playing a song. And she said, and let me bring out the Joan Jett. And Joan Jett came out and fucking crushed the CMA Fest.
Yes.
Crushed. Played a medley of Crimson and Clover, Bad Reputation, the song that Carrie Underwood started with, which was...
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's I want to walk, but I run back to you. That's why I hate myself, loving you.
Hate myself
for loving you. And of course, they finished. She threw one more in, but they finished on Jukebox. Put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
Yes.
I love rock
and
roll. And the crowd was into it. Carrie Underwood was into it.
I love what she said. She goes, that just happened when Joan Chet was walking away. It was awesome.
It was Carrie Underwood, who is a megastar, bringing out one of the most important female rock stars of all time, rock and rollers, and one of the original female punk singers, and a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer in Joan Jett.
Yes.
And Joan Jett played that guitar and shredded, and she sang the shit out of everything, and she just rocked it. Our dogs are being dumb right now. They won't sit down. So,
it's the puppy.
They're trying to take away from how awesome Joan Jett was. And so we stayed... We did one song after that, essentially, and that was Carrie Underwood's, that one real big one, the one where she hates the man, which is a lot of songs from female country music stations.
Well, here's the thing. I am that person that does not want to stay till the end because I don't want to get stuck walking in
crowds. And that was a big crowd.
Walking in, for this time, it wouldn't have been driving and getting out through parking, but I don't like walking around in large crowds and potentially getting lost so I'm like, let's go. So we left, but it was great. I didn't need to see a whole concert because now I can just say that I saw Carrie Underwood. So, and she was great. I don't know if you liked her, Jeremy, but...
No, I thought she was awesome. I knew I would not be disappointed by Carrie Underwood because once you get to be that level of celebrity and musician, showmanship is something that you can't... there's a good amount of people that learn showmanship, and one of the way you learn it is by being in front of crowds.
Yeah.
And she's been in front of the biggest of the biggest.
Yeah.
She's been doing it a long time. She's a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And she behaved like a superstar behaves. Yeah. She rocked the crowd. She played with the crowd. She brought out Joan Jett. She paid her respects to Joan Jett. And then she closed doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good show.
Yeah.
We were hungry going back. And this night, because it was a light rain, we did walk back to their hotel, which was about a 1.4-mile walk.
My legs hurt so bad from all the walking that we did.
Yeah,
and it's like my calves have never hurt this bad.
Well, because there was a lot of hills.
Yeah.
It was everything leaving the hotel was downhill, which meant everything when we were tipsy and standing and rocking was uphill.
Yeah.
So we got back to the hotel. I recommend the JW Marriott cheeseburger late at night. It was good. It was a bacon cheeseburger with caramelized onions.
It may be because we were drunk. I don't know. But it was good.
With
the
two
fries.
Pepsis, and those Pepsis were delicious.
Yeah.
But that was our last night. That ended up, overall, because I was with my wife, who I always love doing stuff with, it's one of the reasons I married her. The trip was worth it. It wasn't a 5 out of 5 for me on Nashville because I see the potential from Nashville.
You really have. I feel like
it just wasn't there for me that night.
Well, and I'm not even sure it would be in the future because since you don't like country music that much.
No, but I did see a lot of bars that had people not playing country and they were a little more low-key.
Okay, we walked by bars that weren't currently playing a country song when we walked by. The majority of every group there or band there is going to be playing country, and they'll throw in an alternative song.
But the problem wasn't just that the bars were crowded and the music was loud and it was always country, is that there was no escape from it. We went outside and the streets were jam-packed.
Yeah.
It was everywhere we went.
Then you won't like it at all.
I don't believe that, though. I don't believe that. CMA Fest, I know you've went, but CMA Fest, there was a shit ton of extra people. It's their biggest event of the year. And I could tell on some of the other bars, like when we went down that street off of Broadway, I loved that street mm-hmm. with the distillery, with the beer cellar, and that Legends Corner bar. I love that bar. That musician, it was the perfect mm-hmm. noise. You just gotta find the bar you want. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I'm too old. Some of the bars was like Kid Rock's bar. That first floor we were on,
yeah,
that was ungodly loud. Yeah. That was too loud. I mean, for this venue, it's like the sound guy didn't have the noise balanced with the venue size. The Loser's bar, her noise was perfect. She was loud enough that you could hear from everywhere, but it wasn't so loud that because there were some bars that even in the back of the room, we could not hear each other. And that's too much to me. Like, you got to find. And I love live music. So when they're doing all these cover songs, which the majority of these places are, they're songs I like.
But you're not going to, you got to have like someone that's willing to tip $20-$30 to hear an older song, like a Garth Brooks song or anything like that.
Luckily, there were people doing it.
I know.
It. Yeah.
But you're not going to hear those big songs or newer songs all the time. You're going to hear.
And I don't know the guy's name at that Legends Corner bar, but that guy was fun. Mm-hmm. Two people walked in wearing America shirts, and he's
like, yeah.
It was a good time.
This is for America.
I would enjoy Nashville. Nashville had good beers, the right amount of. Like staying downtown, everything was close enough. I enjoyed that. Our hotel was great. I would do it again, not related to my customers and my work. But sadly, next year we're going to go back for my customers and my work. So we'll make it end up work and whatever. But it was a great time.
You might have more employees come along with you next time.
Fingers crossed. I know one guy is gonna. So if he's there, so he'll be there. So, but out of the weekend, I give it a 3.5 out of 5. What about you?
Well,
just overall.
Overall,
with
I
give it a 4 out of 5 because you and I had a great time.
Yeah,
some parts were 5 out of 5.
I give it a 3 because I wanted to see more, and I know that you weren't willing or not willing. You were stressed, and
I had to do stuff.
Right,
I had to do stuff. Yeah,
and I don't blame you, but I wanted to see more of the CMA best stuff,
like
going around to the different.
Yeah, but see, that was the problem. They were so busy. No, I would have done that. Those outdoor shows, I would have done those. All you had to do was set
up. But I also wanted you to experience the bar aspect
I'm just getting so goddamn old that the bar aspect of it, I only need like 2 bars.
Yeah.
And then I need to find a bar where I could chill. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would rather see the outdoor show drinking cheap, mass-produced beer than being in some of those loud-ass places. I mean, like my wink wink nudge nudge grade was 5 out of 5. We accomplished that on that part of it. but with you was a great 4. The whole overall event, because of the work, there was a lot of stress. That there was one day where I was very angry.
Yeah.
And it was from both sides, from customers, from corporate, all that stuff. Missy just about fell. Literally stepped back and almost fell. I don't know what happened.
I saw my life flash before my
but so it was a good time. And I do recommend. It's a pretty hip town. It is a music capital of of the United States. There's no way around it. There's so much.
I feel
like the density of songs and songwriters there is amazing.
I feel like when you see a local, which you only know locals by people that are working in bars and restaurants, are also musicians.
Yeah, it's like everybody in Hollywood that serves you your dinner is trying to make it in a movie, yeah, is an actor and has a resume and a headshot. Everyone there has a guitar in their car, mm-hmm, and a written song trying to pimp it to somebody. And that's cool. There's something cool about that. I enjoy that aspect of
it. It's got to be rough, though, because how do you make a living? I mean, you're living as on tips.
Do what you can, man. Oof. Try to get famous. Yeah, that's all you got to do. Listen, we got to get up and watch the Blues. So any closing thoughts on our trip and everything?
I enjoyed it. I would totally do it again. I feel like, and I know Kaylin couldn't do this, the CMA Fest with you because it's a work trip and you can't entertain customers with a teenager, but she would enjoy the concert part. I think she would really
enjoy. Yeah, I think she
that.
Would as well. It was fun. That I mean, the actual Nissan Arena with the shows, especially, I think.
Frustrating getting around, by the way.
Oh, that, you know what? I give a 0.1 out of 5 for the staff at the Nissan Family Arena. Just so you know, Nissan Family Arena, you suck.
Yeah.
You suck bad. You don't know your own arena. They can't tell you where to go. There was a guy sweeping the floor in the Tennessee Titans Stadium wearing a New England Patriot hat. That says a lot about that place. Also, by the way, I brought this up to you. I did not know bras were so, people were so anti-bras now, women were.
They're honing in their inner Monica and Rachel.
There was a third of the women there not wearing bras.
Yeah.
That seems like a really high percentage. I mean, it could be. I mean, I have a
wife. I didn't notice. So. I don't know why you were looking at everyone's boobs.
They were flopping around out there for the world to see.
Flopping.
I'm just kidding. But Missy had brought up a good point, too. People don't try so fucking hard. If you're not a cowgirl, don't dress like a cowgirl. It's a little much.
I'm not even sure I know what a cowgirl dresses like. I feel like the world thinks cowgirls dress like in Footloose.
Also, any girl... not any girl, but a good amount of girls. If you're under the age of 25 to 21, that demographic, girlfriends, stop trying so hard. I mean, it's a country music show. You do not have to wear your little black dress and your FMPs and go out there to watch a country show because you're walking everywhere. Because here's a getting across a bridge can't be driven across.
I don't know if I've ever dressed up for a concert.
Oh, God.
If I'm going to a concert, I'm going to have a good time.
Borderline prostitute dress. I mean, I'm not trying to be the old guy on his porch again here.
No, it wasn't just this weekend. This is every concert that I mean, there's rough. Always chicks out there that do that.
Like, I was blown away.
Yeah.
Also, God love you, big girls. Sometimes just be aware. Just be aware. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to shit on any big girl. I think being body positive is a big thing. I think you have to be body positive with a grasp on what you're doing. I'm not saying you were dressed ugly. I'm just saying...
You weren't dressed right.
You had some shit showing that shouldn't have been showing. That's all I'm saying. It's not muffin top.
Why don't you just tell me then before I go out the door?
It's not a muffin top. It's like a fucking mushroom cloud. That's what was going on there. It was big. Yikes. It was scary. But yeah, good time. I don't know if we have anything else. Listen to us, download, share. All our friends, Shane, new friend, Matt Bosler. Matt F.
Like
Bosler.
Bosler.
Bosler, that guy. Our boys at Anything But Credible, our Cerebral Entertainment guys. Every guy that we know, you guys, it's been a good, fun week of guests and stuff. I want to keep that ball rolling, so I'm going to reach out to some more people. That's all I got. So no Tom, no Bender, but Missy can always say.
Bye.
And I'm going to play the music. Thank you. Thanks for this episode. I know it was a different one, but thank you.